Standing Committee on Finance. We do have the agenda with us. I just would like to make two points. The one is that I see Treasury is here, but actually the HOD is not here. A question that that we deal with at a shift point 2 to point 3. The Treasury coming later to do the quarterly report. The rest of Treasury is here, but the HOD is in another meeting. So two and three just been switched around. And then the other important point is we received a letter from the Western Cape and Gambling Board that they, according to the letter here, they say that the point three matter that we need to deal with, that we invited them to come and brief us, is in court, and according to them is sub judice. Members, may I request that we deliberate on this, and that we start, if we have permission to start to do the meeting in camera, this conversation, or is it not necessary just to deliberate whether we should, before we go to the content of this letter, what we should do, Member Gavinko?
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Yes, I read the letter. At the bottom of page 1, it speaks about the areas of concern. It says the matter has become sub-judice. The minute I see that word in, you know, my ears pop up. It only says the root operator, Bukhani Gaming, Western Cape, has issued a summons against the board for the sum of that on the basis on so and so and so. It does not say that the matter is already in court and that it's being dealt with by some or other judge and that it has a time to be dealt with.
Right.
But I think, Chair, for us to be safe, can we get a legal opinion to take us through this and just to cover our backs based on what we managed to do as Scopa, guided legally by one of our legal advisors. So I would want to suggest that we ask a legal advisor just to go through this with us to safeguard that we're doing the right thing.
Thank you for that, Member Ace, and then Member Summers.
Chairperson, to respond to your first question, whether we must have the discussion whether it's sub judice or not in camera, I would say no, because there's no information that we have and or the legal advisor will have that will mean it's sub judice. They are referring to the information that they have that they've not shared with us that they believe is sub judice. So the discussion, I believe, must be in an open meeting because it's been in the annual report and it's been all over. Thank you, Chair.
So we will drop that point then, it's fine, but the point Member Bermago raised that for the letter itself and the content. Just want to hear Member Summers.
Chairperson, I believe I actually concur with Member Bermago because I'll support that what she has stated.
Fine, thank you. What we can do, I have asked, because of the, I'm aware of the letter, asked Mr. Maastrop to be on standby. So we can then call him in and then debrief us on what he knows and what he understands and guide us all the way forward. We're all in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Can you just get...
Clarity, but will Mr. Maastrop have the dates and stuff when this matter is in front of a court? Or?
Okay, fine. Important question, but he doesn't know that we will hear it from the department. Mr. Maastrop, welcome. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for being on standby. I have just a few minutes before the meeting had a conversation with Mr. Maastrop about the meeting that we're going to have today and that we may need his service. And Mr. Maastrop, we are confronted with a situation. We received a letter from the Western Cape and Gambling Board, item that is on the agenda that they were due to brief us on today. They wrote to us and indicate that this matter is sub judice. We would like you to guide us. I know that you received this, you're probably in the position of the letter minutes before this meeting, and would just like us to guide us on the process besides the content of the letter and how we can deal with this matter. Thank you, Mr. Marston. Over to you.
Chair, let me just understand your question. Is your question to me now that against the backdrop of the correspondence between the board and in particular Mr. Lekay to yourself and or the committee, mindful of the request therein that pending litigation, whether they can address this committee in camera? Is that the gist of the question?
I think the question is, guide us on, if we receive such a letter, what is the process? And then if you had your eyes on the content, what you'd like to guide us on, should we make an appointment that you fully go and study the document and then come and brief us if the matter is sub judice and whether we can engage with the department in terms of the briefing that they must come and give us, whether so that we do not infringe on the court case itself, you know, the merits of the case. So that is basically the two issues, is the process. How do we deal with this going forward here? In terms of setting a time frame for you to go, and if you feel you need to assist us and give us feedback on the contents, and exactly how we should engage with the gambling board in terms of the briefing itself. Yeah.
Because of the, and I appreciate the chair's observation that it was short notice to me, but because of that, I'm constraining myself to talk in general terms. There, having had sight of the correspondence in the time available, my understanding is that the board, being obliged to report to this committee, raised the fact that there is some court proceeding pending between the board and some stakeholders, and as a result, the board has a concern that it may not be able to fully disclose on its accounting responsibility or accountability responsibility. I am of the following view, that in order for me to make an assessment as to whether this matter is in fact sub judice, I may need more information on at what stage the court proceedings are finding itself. Because mere lodging of papers at a court does not in and of itself render a matter sub judice. Let me insert the following between brackets. And what I maybe just want to share with the committee is probably things which the committee is very au fait with, but let me say it so that I know it's on record and that I have it disclosed my thinking. The constitutional obligation that vests with this committee and other such committees, insofar as it pertains to its oversight responsibility, is a profound one. And this committee, as proxy on behalf of the community, has a responsibility to hold the executive accountable. I'm inserting that to indicate how, and even through litigation from the in constitutional court cases, very recent cases, how that aspect, that doctrine of oversight responsibility, is given
unfettered protection. The sub judice rule sets a very high threshold before it can be breached. And what I mean is, for something to be sub judice and therefore, in consequence, suspend an oversight responsibility constitutionally mandated, it can't be, as the court cases have said, a speculative, a preponderance of a possibility that the process will be prejudiced or litigants may be prejudiced. The courts are saying there has to be some real, some substantial reason as to why a matter can be, and when a matter can be regarded as sub judice. Now, in order, as I said initially, for me to make the assessment that this matter is indeed sub judice, and even if it is sub judice, is it such that it outweighs the constitutional mandate of this committee? So there are two hurdles in that regard. And even when one makes that assessment, it will follow, in terms of practicality, whether a meeting as a result should be held in camera or whether the committee at all should be availed of information before the court. It is still for this committee to exercise its discretion and weigh those competing values. The one of the right for the public to know, and the interest of litigants, individual litigants. So in order, as I said before, for me to make that assessment, I will have to be availed of information to gauge the extent to which this litigation has progressed. In any case, Chair, my bias is towards upholding the legislature's responsibility to exercise its oversight. Having said that, we pride ourselves in this constitutional democracy. We pride ourselves on the fierce independence of our judiciary. So even if a matter is sub judice, even if a matter is to be held in camera, there is no, and let me not put it as absolute as that, there is a remote chance that judicial officers will be swayed by disclosures of that may be availed in a meeting of this nature. There are, even in this regard, very recent court cases. The Henry van Breda court case pertaining to whether the media can broadcast the trial live. Even in criminal proceedings, the interest of the public, in other words, the public's right to know, outweighs the notion of keeping information away from the public. So those are the in general terms, Chair. Unless there's specific questions pertaining to the way forward here, then I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, and I appreciate your input, Member. Of course, Member Beerwinkel, the committee before you came in was your opinion, and as Member Beerwinkel said, we need to make sure that, I think, our own independence is protected. We need to do oversight, of course. It's our responsibility. But in the light of another case experience that we have in Scopa, that we need to be on the safe side as well. So we thank you for briefing us. Member Beerwinkel and Member McKenzie.
Chair, thank you very much. Having listened to our legal advisor and referring to the independence of the judiciary, also being mindful of the opinion that we got the other day from his colleague, can he please, for our own edification and maybe for those who were not in that briefing, explain the different roles that we play as opposed to the role that the judiciary plays. And by that I mean that we have an oversight role, a judiciary has a role of making a finding. We are not in the business of making findings, we're in the business of oversight. If you can just explain those, that difference, and how it impacts on this, I can almost say excuse from the gambling board to use the sub judice clause to not report as we have requested.
Thank you, Member McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the explanation. It was certainly putting things into perspective. I think the reason, and this is just my understanding, why people use the sub judice rule, because in particular in our own rules, it says under Rule 61, no member may refer to any matter of which a judicial decision is pending, to avoid any information being distributed by any party, to use that as a supplementary application in court to say, we just found out, actually, Ricardo is not telling the truth, he's got 30 million in his budget and not 5 million. So we now want to go back and renegotiate for 30 million and it's 5 million. So I think that was part of the reasons, but I fully understand what you say, and I fully appreciate what you say. In fact, that's probably something that somebody should have explained to some other people a few months ago, because that was the most simplest way of which to explain the sub judice rule. I think the reason in this particular case was that because the parties are in negotiation between each other, pending judicial decision, like I said, the one can argue, listen, you're saying there's 5 million in your budget, but we've just heard on Parliament you actually got 20 million in your budget. And I think that is my perception is this thing is lying where they are still trying to negotiate the out-of-court settlement between two parties and a court session between two parties. And I think that is perhaps what you refer to. You need more information in order for you to help you make an informed legal opinion so you can understand where this process is. Is the judge going to make a decision next week? Is there any supplementary affidavits that can be filed before the court to influence their decision based on new information that comes to mind? I think that is probably part of the reason why.
Well, thank you, Member McKenzie. I think we've heard what Advocate Marshall has said, and I think we, as a committee, we will, after we've now finished engaging, we will then decide how we want to deal with it going forward. Member Advocate Marshall has indicated that he's willing, but he needs more time to interrogate this document and come up. But I think the question, Member Bevanko, raised is a reasonable question to know the difference between a committee, the committee's role of oversight, role and responsibility, and the role of the judiciary. The Advocate have touched on it here and there in the opening, but that is specific a question. More specific question to you, Advocate. The independence, can you explain the role? I know you can, but please explain the role. The difference between the committee's function, oversight role, and the role of the judiciary per se. If the question was clear to you, is it clear? Thank you.
Chair, thanks for that. I think Member Bjerwinkel's question contained the answer as well. The oversight responsibility is a constitutionally founded principle and principle that is vested with legislatures. And its primary objective, because of our separation of powers constitutional structure, its primary objective is to ensure that the executive, the agent on behalf of the people, delivers as it has indicated or promised. In other words, hold the executive accountable, explain, provide documents, and hence the constitutional space that's given to legislatures and by extension to committees, that the committee can call any person to come and account. So it is the accountability responsibility that is provided for. And oversight is that mechanism to hold the executive accountable. The judiciary, the courts, apply prevailing law to facts before it. Which is a distinctly separate responsibility and function, in fact. Let me pause there, Chair, with the following observation. And this observation was prompted by what Member McKenzie mentioned earlier. The sub judice rule has its origins when there was still a jury as part of our court structure. And as we appreciate and as we may know, the jury comprised lay people who, having their own prejudices, having their own worldviews, having their own access to information before social media age, etc., having their own proximities to individuals, they were to be protected so that decisions that they make are not necessarily driven by extraneous influences. So we will not discuss this lest we sway jurors. The matter is therefore sub under the judicial consideration still. As times have gone and advanced, of course, as we know, we did away with that system. But even judicial officers as individuals are exposed to all manner and source of information, more so now with social media. So that the notion of sub judice has almost become superfluous and diluted, because one cannot say without more, without proving a nexus between information and the nature of an outcome, one cannot say that there was an influence that was untoward without the evidence that you can prove that nexus. So the rule sub judice, even in our rules, if I may venture this opinion, is out of place now. It has served its purpose. But that is for a conversation for another day and for another forum. Except, Chair, that stakeholders in its wider sense, and this is what the court cases criteria, the criteria they articulate, is there must be a real and demonstrable risk that will ensue if information is disclosed. And the one who alleges that risk must prove it. So that by way of insert, but for Member Bierwinkel's question, as I indicated earlier, those are two distinct functions, not just distinct, but profoundly independent as well, because judicial officers make findings, apply the law on the available
facts. Thank you for that. I think that's the word Member Bierwinkel used, independent itself, and I think started off with that. Member Ace?
Chairperson, just on process as well, I think we must take this decision. Are we going to take this forward now? We have the advocate here, and it's important that we interact with that. So once we've exhausted our questions, we as a committee, with the advocate present, must see how we take this process forward. This is very important. I would like to engage with that second part of that, please, Chairperson.
I think that's the member. This is where we are now. So members can make proposals. I mean,
Chairperson, this issue, can I proceed? Thank you. Chairperson, this issue is not a new issue that's coming to the table today. This issue is also not an issue that can become sub judice because yesterday or the day before, a route operator decided, as reflected here, to go to court. What if the route operator decided to go to court next week or next month or next year? What we discuss here is the principle that's been reflected in the annual report, in the report of the Auditor General,
And there's no dispute about the facts. There was no legislation in place. They agree with that. They want to amend legislation. That's what they said to Remy at Deer. So, I mean, it's given facts. That's coming from documentation. If you look at what we've asked them, is we asked them, that's given. Because what's given is they had to go to Treasury and ask more money. Because they couldn't get money for this financial year. They couldn't get it because there was not that flow of income. So that's given. Everybody knows that. Even if you're not in court or in court, everybody understands that. Treasury admitted that they had to give them money because that's the reason, additional money to cover their expenses. What we are asking is, we want oversight over the board. We want to ask them is, what transpired that you put government, that you put provincial treasury, that you put everybody in a position where we are now, that you did not see that there's a problem and in getting the money in. So I think that's all given. It can never be subjudicated. They say they want to negotiate. We're not going to we will not ask them, now what is your the point of departure in negotiations or what is your bottom line? They most probably don't know it themselves. Is it 2 million or is it 3 million and we will offer you 500,000? I'm not going to ask them what is their negotiating point. That's not the point. We want to understand the process where they put provincial treasury in such a difficult position where they, in an adjustment budget, had to give them additional money. They will have to explain it because we want to do oversight to also rectify processes and problems that we've seen. But what is in the documentation printed, given, is nothing different than what we actually asked here. We heard that the CFO picked it up and she was appointed. And we need to understand what happened in that department that it was not done properly. So there's no sub judice, even if it was in the court of law today. Because the facts are all there already. They already said they want to amend the act. I mean, they admitted to it already. Nothing new will happen around that situation. So, Chairperson, I think they must come and explain it. They're making a big issue of this now. I see it more as an administrative issue where they must come and explain that we can do proper oversight over them and tell and ask what transpired in the process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member. Chair, we'll just refer to their communication with us.
I want to start with the Constitution. You can't argue with what they're saying there because that comes out of the Constitution. You can't argue with what they're speaking about the rules, whether it's relevant here or not the point. In fact, they're taking that out of the rule and it does say that. The next page, Rule 61, that is what's in our rule, but in our case now, it's not relevant. Public access, that's what it is. Proceedings, that's what it is. But then we get to number 5, where it says, in the light of the foregoing, the board hereby requests the director from the chairperson to ensure all of those things that they're ensuring now, all of the things that they've mentioned about, they think this is the reason why it should not happen. I think, Chair, based on the advice that we've been given, that request cannot be adhered to. We do not need to hold that meeting in camera for reasons that we have just heard and explanation that we heard from our legal advice.
Advisor correctly that he needs more information to find out where in the judicial process this is for him to make a decision. Is that right?
And whether it's sub judice or not.
Yeah.
That's what he said, he needs that. Excellent.
Yeah, Chair. As I said earlier, I was speaking in general terms. I was speaking in general terms without sort of the specificities in front of me. I also picked up from what Member McKenzie mentioned earlier, and I think Member Ace also referred to now, that there may or there seems to be negotiations underway between the respective parties. Now, it is conceivable that during negotiations, various parties at the negotiating instance may not wish to disclose their hand, as it will undermine the process in its entirety. Whether that's the case here and the extent to which that negotiations have advanced, I'm not privy to that. It's not part of the information provided to me. As to whether that is part of the court proceedings, I haven't been availed of that. I'm not sure whether the information or whether the process at the court is such where it is now ready for judgment, whether evidence has been led, whether witnesses have been called or to be called, and their testimony may be influenced or in some or other way affected by what is disclosed here, etc. I'm saying that may help to consider the maturity or otherwise of the court proceedings. And I'm saying even if I have been availed with that information, the body of that information must and will still be assessed in relation to the oversight responsibility. So even if I'm told that this matter is now ready for trial and five witnesses will start testifying next week and therefore information coming out here will sway them, it will still be a consideration of, does the public have a right to know what is being said here? So even if I'm availed of information, that assessment will have to be made against the full body of information and the profound constitutional responsibility that is visited upon this committee.
Thank you, Advocate. Members, we need to move forward on this. Member Summers, then we need to come to a conclusion how we want to move forward on this case.
Chair, I think listening to the first portion of what Advocate Maastricht now said, for him to make an informed decision and to give us really, you know, informed advice. Remember, if we are to exercise our role effectively, we would also need that information to ensure that when we make a decision here in the public's interest, it is based on having all the information available to us. So I'm thinking of proposing that, you know, this letter itself is only stating one portion of what we want to know, not everything that we will need to know and which will be able to feed into the advice that we expect from the advocate. Should one then not say, look, let's let the process of this flow, you as the chairperson need to get more information so that we can make an informed decision, so that you can get an informed legal advice from the good master. Because we actually, you know, it's almost like driving down a road and it's musty. You know something is going to happen, you've got all the facts, you can't see the entire road yet.
Members, we need to move on, but I'm going to wish this the last two comments, Member Bevankel and then Member Ace. And then we need to come to a conclusion on the way forward.
Yeah, Chair, I don't want to up and down here on this issue. I think what the legal advisor is constantly saying is that our oversight role must never be diluted based on speculation about what can and what might happen. This letter, however, does say, ask that the board presents a written submission to the committee of today and be permitted to collect all that written submissions. Why can't we see what it is that they want to, what they want to submit, and what's so important that we, because they even say we're not supposed to contain it, retain it, they want to take it back. Would that not help in the legal advisor getting a better insight into what's going on? But I still stand by the fact that I think we should continue, we should deal with this report. The information about what happened, we've discussed this in previous finance meetings already. All of this information is out there. So, and as the legal advisors say, what we discuss here can never influence a judge with his legal background and thinking to change his opinion of what the reality is. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Before we decide what we're going to do, thank you.
Chairperson, it's very clear, listening to the legal advisor, also the legal advice that was given over the last week and two, that we can proceed in an open meeting and get the information from the board to explain to us what happened. It's already in the public domain, and they must elaborate and give us the necessary information around that. The longer we carry on with an issue like this, we don't open, we don't discuss it, the longer there will be a suspicion around this. I don't know why they just don't come and present and give us the factual information like all other departments must do. And therefore, I submit that we continue with this meeting. I think that we give precedence to this as well, and they come and present to us. We ask questions, and we dispose of this issue today. We have enough information to do that and not apply as they, in their narrow way, the sub judice rule. Thank you, Chair.
Members, I think I've heard the views. I think I must also say that I think we must also respect the board's request. If the board requests and say they want it, and that's maybe why I want the advocate to come in last, the board is not unwilling to come and talk to us, where I picked it up. They're willing to come and talk, but they've set certain requests on what sort of conditions they want to talk in terms of documents. I think they wanted to do it in camera, so maybe before we decide on your view, on your request, that if we decide that we want you to assist us in coming to the bottom of the subject you care or not, that's a separate issue we will decide. But if we decide that the board should come and they want to come as on their request, how should we view that in terms of that they are faced with a legal process now? The other issues about when it was in a committee, and the committee was open, that's fine, but once the legal process starts, things change. Then situations can change in terms of where the board finds itself. So I think I just want us to respect the board's request and respond to that request and not just nullify everything. They made an effort to come to us, they're willing to talk to us, but we must respect what they are asking us and respond to that now, the fact that we have it in front of us. So that's why I'm asking I know you haven't studied the full detail of the document, but the fact that they say they want it in camera, if they prepare to talk to us, that portion, whatever they mean, they can tell us whatever they think they want to tell us. How should the committee deal with that request, advocate? Thank you.
Chair, we've had instances before where requests were made for having committee meetings in camera. And again, the considerations need to be properly balanced. You see, Chair, if a parliament, if a legislature by extension, if a committee by extension, if a committee chair is sufficiently mindful of the constitutional imperative that is vested here, if a committee is mindful that it is the executive that is called upon to come and account here. In other words, constitutionally obliged to come and account here. Not doing this committee favors. Not indulging this committee. They are obliged to come here. If we operate from that mindset, from that premise, from that paradigm, then this committee's consideration of oversight and its responsibility is so profound that the committee shall, that the people obliged to come shall submit to the committee's wishes, if you like. Having said that, one can understand that the board may want to protect information because in their view, partially informed view, there's a court process underway. One can understand that. Chair, for the board, and I'm not sure what the chair means when the chair says that we must respect the board's wishes, or their request rather. But for the board...
Their request is to do, when they come, they want to do the presentation in camera. That's their request.
That is their request.
That is their request. Chair, even that, the Constitution says that meetings of this nature shall be held in public and open to the media, words to that effect, and consideration, and there are limitations which need to be interrogated as to why that would have to be trumped by other considerations. I'm not of the view that the board's request, how it has been couched, and the objective they have in mind is sufficiently persuasive to trump the notion of an open meeting as one would expect in a free and fair democratic society. It is not persuasive. On the other point also, Chair, is the board's request to retrieve information that may have been disclosed or documents that may have been disclosed to the committee. To the extent that I can venture an opinion, I think that is utterly presumptuous of the board to impute on the honor of members that they may not be the custodians of information that is kept in committee. I think that's presumptuous, and the board should be addressed on that as well. There's honor amongst members, and members are honorable, are presumed to be honorable, and if they are given information and it is in committee, that's where it should stay. But the disclosure should be public.
Thank you for the response. Members, we've heard the advocate's response. I think I want to stress that the board is saying that they're willing to present, to give a written submission to the committee, which I think you rightfully said they want to then retain the document. They would like to retain the document, or they say the chairperson can keep a copy of that. But I think I want to start off with Member Beerwinkel's initial introduction, saying that we've had a recent experience where we've discussed sub judice matter. We've asked for legal opinion, of course, and we were briefed on that. And then we need to still make a decision on whether we're going to accept that legal opinion that will happen in that committee at a later date. We actually have not even decided that we accepted the legal opinion's view in terms of how to do our oversight, whether the matter is sub judice or not. That must still happen. That hasn't happened yet. So given on that experience, I'm not eager to move forward as a person, not as a chairperson, but as a committee member, to disrespect the concern of the board. Notwithstanding that we have authority and responsibility to do oversight, that does not mean if we respect their view now, we will never do oversight. We still have, in the financial year, months to go to do oversight. And there's a court process playing off. So I think we must. I would like to consider that, being mindful that the gambling board find themselves in a legal process. Well, even if it's of their own doing, but they're in a legal process. So members, that is my feeling, that we do respect their request. Actually, not to engage with us while they claim the matter is sub judice, that we do not engage with them. That we respect their view, and that we, at a later stage when it's right, to engage with them after they've gone through legal proceedings. That is the one. The other option, that if the committee feel they must come, then I feel we must respect the request that they made, that they present to us in camera. Notwithstanding what the advocate has said, I think the rules does make allow, if we take into account where we are, that we have the briefing in camera. So we have that option. So members, let us vote on it, or if we can't get consensus, we must vote, because we have to move forward. We have to move forward on this matter. Are there any views, proposals? Member McKenzie?
Thank you, Chair. To come back to the first proposal that you made half an hour ago, or Member Beerwinkel. Let the advocate receive all the information he needs to give us an informed opinion.
Okay.
Because obviously we wouldn't like this meeting to be held in camera because most of our committees are open.
Okay, fine.
We don't have camera meeting unless you were down for interviews or something like that. But all our committees are open. But it's important that we have an informed opinion to be able to make such a decision. And based on a three letters, four pages letter, which is very difficult for the advocate to make a decision.
I hear your proposal, Member Beerwinkel made a statement in opening remarks. He made reference to that. I wouldn't say it, maybe it was a proposal, but if she said it's still a proposal, then it's fine. But I think we're now at the stage where we want to make proposals formally. So I've heard your proposal, Member McKenzie, that we ask the advocate to further go and interrogate this letter and then come and brief us. That's what you're asking.
Get more information.
Yeah, information, yeah, and then tell us. In terms of the subject case, where's the court case and the other things that you've raised. Member?
Is it Bus,
and then Member Beerwinkel, and then Member Ace.
Part of your roles is to give direction. I think you've just given that. You've given us two alternatives. Member McKenzie concurs with your first one, and he substantiated that on why. And I believe I concur with Member McKenzie as well. So we follow your lead on the first option that you gave us.
Thank you, Member Beerwinkel.
Thank you, Chair. I think Member McKenzie has somewhat misconstrued what my input was. I said maybe the written submission might contain some of the information that the advocate might need. If we can get that, we might even see whether it is necessary to postpone this meeting for another day or anything because the information might be there. But what I really raised my hand on was a comment that the legal advisor made about the, I can almost say, disrespect that the board is showing towards us in being dishonorable by giving us the document, then taking it back, but leaving one with you. So what does that say about us compared to you, that you are trusted but we are not? What stops you from making copies and giving it to us afterwards? What stops you from making copies and giving it to anybody afterwards? You know, it's that sort of, I can't even find a word to describe it. The discrepancy in how this board wants to deal with this matter, and as usual, Chair, as we know this board, they always give us information that is scant. We always need to draw things out of them. They could have told us a lot more and we could have made a decision. So now I just think that they must bring that written submission. Let's see what it is, and if after that we can continue, let's continue. Because I don't see that we should give them any more leeway to carry on with this.
Thank you, Member.
Jefferson, we must get the necessary information and we must engage with that information. That's our role and responsibility. And let's not try and make this a political issue where one political party will say, no, we can't do oversight, and the other one will say, let's do oversight. Jefferson, this is not right what's happening here. They must come and account. It's just a simple issue, and to refer this now to advocate Marsdorp is wrong. What can advocate Marsdorp do with the information? There's nothing sub judice in a document that they must present to us. They must tell us what's happening. That's all that they must do. And Chairperson, we must move forward and we must respect our role and responsibility as the legislator and the extension of the provincial parliament now. And I really urge you to not let this slip by and not let party political influences influence what we decide here today.
Thank you, members, for the input. We need to, if there's no consensus, that's the rules of work, and then we need to vote, which I'm trying to avoid. Can I just get advocates' view on the suggestion that we get that document from the board? Because that document will then become the committee's, they're willing to submit a document, it will become our position, we will hand that then to you, which you can interrogate, as part of the request that, the one suggestion that was made, a proposal, that you go and interrogate this document and that document and then brief us on your understanding of what we are facing, in terms of the request that they've made, the legal situation they find themselves in. What would your view be? I think my view is that as the Member Beerwinkel and I said that it should not be a problem to call them in and say, we just want you to submit a document. Would it be problematic just to do it that way? Without ask him to engage with us and just get the document? Is they willing to submit?
Chair, let me explain. I need to make an assessment, as I said earlier, at what stage of maturity the court case is. If, for example, it is now, all testimony has been led, and it's now just for adjudication, then that consideration must be weighed as to whether it outweighs the oversight responsibility. If it is that the matter is still very in its embryonic stage and witnesses still need to be called and witnesses must be kept from information that's out there, that will in its totality be weighed against whether it is sufficient to trump the oversight responsibility. Even having said that, I'm saying I am biased towards the notion that the sub judice rule is not applicable. I will therefore most likely advise the committee that it must do its oversight responsibility. I don't know what information the board will present here now. So whether that will assist in getting me to a different opinion is not for now, is speculative. I did hear Member McKenzie and Member Ace earlier mentioning about the information that may be sensitive because it is part of a negotiating engagement. So I'm saying if it is information of that nature, then surely, mindful that the public out there may want resolution on this matter, mindful that the public out there has an interest because it is public money that was overpaid ostensibly, I'm saying even that will be weighed whether it is to be kept from the public. So the information that the board may give, I don't know to what extent that will be material or persuasive to get my opinion to change that this is so sub judice and therefore it trumps oversight. It will take a long story. Chair, can I read one line from a court case? The detail I can give again. It says, only if the prejudice that the publication might cause to the administration of justice is demonstrable and substantial, and there is a real risk that the prejudice will occur if publication takes place. Demonstrable and substantial. Those are loaded legal terms, and courts don't easily get swayed by extraneous factors.
Thank you. Can I just read from their own letter? Give me that opportunity because I think they themselves are telling us that it's not
subjudicated.
They say, however, three peculiar issues of concern must be borne in mind. The matter is going to become subjudicated.
The one route operator, Vukani Gambling, Western Cape, issued a summons against the board for the sum of that on the basis that the board was unjustifiably enriched by them paying monies that was not legally due to the board. Now that we know, because we've had that in our committee. They then say, the information to be disclosed in this sitting of the committee may prejudice the board's defense and that of the provincial government, depending on whether the provincial government will be cited as a party having an interest in the matter. So there's no finality in this thing. They're not being cited yet, depending on whether they will be cited. They've not even prepared papers. It's not at the court. There's no judge appointed. So very clearly, it is not sub judice.
Very clear when they say, when they confirm that they've been challenged by one of the stakeholders.
Sorry?
And there's a process that obviously started. They've been challenged by one of the stakeholders.
They've been challenged. Like, I can challenge you, I can warn you, I'm going to take you to court, and then I send a report to say, I'm taking member Joseph to court. I haven't just gone to court, I haven't put my papers, judge hasn't been afforded, nothing. They just informing us they have been summoned. That's not the legal process yet. But that's the sub judice aside. The issue now is, should they come in here and present the document? Yes, Chair. And we must engage with it.
Right, members, we are faced with two proposals, unless we want to have a consensus proposal. If we, in fact, in addition to that, is should we just get a document advocate to go and study this initial document? It may not be enough information, because the board may want minute they want to submit, and perhaps they can help
if they come in and present this supposed confidential document. Can the legal advisor not sit in on the meeting and advise as we continue?
What is that? The question the advocate asks, where is this case? At the start, are there witnesses so that we understand where it is, which we can understand our committee how we should deal with it also. Can assist us. But not to engage on the merits of the case, but on the process, I would say. That is what I think I'm willing to do, members. I said, okay. All right. Thank you. So let's then call the chairperson of the board and the legal person in, and let's then engage with them on what they wrote to us. Okay, can we go ahead? Fine. Thank you. Let me go. I'll go. Members, I just want to welcome the why we've asked you to come into this meeting. We have received this letter. The committee have engaged long on this letter, and what we would like to and what we had to decide on in terms of your request was that you're willing to submit a document, you're willing to speak to the document, but you want to retain, you don't want to leave the documents with us besides the chairperson. We've got a problem with that you leave it with me and not for the other members.
This is an open meeting.
And the reason why we just want to clarify something before we start another process in terms of engagement. We want to know, we would like you to submit a document to us that you initially agreed upon, And then we would like, with the assistance of an advocate here, I want to just maybe state it in sort of general terms, what we don't know where the process is of the legal. And we have an oversight role while we still are in We cannot oversight role of our constitutional responsibility. But we do respect that you wrote that letter and we don't want you to go into the merits of the case. We just want to know, in terms of processes, that you say you received a letter from a stakeholder challenging you.
It's on? Let me just start again. Good afternoon, members, advocate. Chairperson, you said there were two matters. You addressed the one, you said, where is this matter in terms of the legal process? Which is the other matter, the question that you had?
We would like you to submit this document, if you still agree to submit the document to us, without us discussing the merits of it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regards to the where this matter is in terms of the legal process, our legal advisor and manager will speak to that. Whether we would like to submit the document to you, if we can just address the first one first, and then we can do that. But if I may, Chair, in your introductory remarks, you mentioned about the oversight process. We respectfully submit that at no stage do we question the oversight of the committee. It's for that reason also that we were prepared to submit the document with the information to the committee. So there's no question about questioning their role or trying to take away from their role of oversight. We subject ourselves at all times to that responsibility, Chair. I will now ask our legal advisor to address the question.
I think that's just another point before you speak. I think the committee also dealt long with the fact that you say to us in the letter is sub judice doesn't mean we accept it is sub judice. Therefore, we got our legal support to have a better understanding, and that's why we are where we are now. We want to hear something from you, and that will help us inform whether we come to the same conclusion that this matter is indeed sub judice. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think on page 2 of the letter, on the top of the first paragraph, that's sub-Roman 1, Chair, paragraph 3, sub-Roman 1, we do indicate that summons was issued. It was served on the board. The board filed a notice of intention to defend. And the next stage of the process is for the board to file its plea. The board has appointed attorneys to represent the board in this matter. And we have some 14 days to file our plea in terms of the rules of the High Court chain. That is where the litigation is at currently. So it is an active litigious matter.
Thank you. Over to you, Chairperson.
That's where the matter is in terms of the process. We would obviously consider that the document for further consideration, and Chair. It is in terms of our legal advisor's advice we requested from the committee to treat the document with the necessary respect because of the unfolding process, and just to protect the information, as the legal advisor said, how this is going. I think we shall mention that we have engaged with the other party with regards to settlement of the matter, and that in that information could prejudice the process going forward, Chair.
Before you speak, can I just just clarify the you will still be prepared to submit the document?
We will be prepared to submit the document, Chair.
Member Bevergold and Member McKenzie.
Chair,
I say to our members, the reason why we call them in is to specifically ask those questions so that we can decide how to move forward. I'm not going to allow us to engage on the merits of any case. We're not there. We just wanted to clarify on this questions that I've put to them, so you can speak to that if you want. Please.
That's my intention, Chair. Thank you. I would like to know from Ms. Skeppel what, and based on your input now, what makes, in your mind, what makes this matter sub judice, based on the information that you've just given us now? That all you've done is engaged attorneys who are putting together a document for you with your plea. Okay, I won't say anything further. You rather tell me what about just that information makes this situation sub judice.
Over to Ms. Skeppel.
Chair, I will refer to the rules of the Provincial Parliament. Rule 61 indicates that no matters sub judice is what the heading is. No member may refer to any matter on which a judicial decision is pending. Just within that context, Chair, I think that once a legal process has been served on a party, the matter is considered to be active litigation, and the intention of the plaintiff, certainly in this instance, would be for the court to make a determination on the merits of the case and whether or not the board is liable to refund the amounts that they summoned the board for. So I would consider this matter to be sub judice. The legal process was served on the board. The board have entered an intention to defend the proceedings, and the rules of court then dictate that process in terms of when pleadings ought to be filed and when pleadings will close, and then it will be set down for the court to make a determination. So the minute that the court process has commenced, whether it is an application that is served on the board or whether it is a summons that is served on the board, that is when and while that litigation is still active, unless the parties agreed to remove the matter from the roll, and that is usually done by agreement, then you would formally withdraw the matter, and it's only at that stage that it no longer is sub judice.
Thank you very much. Member McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm also going to go back to Rule 61. May refer to any matter which a judicial decision is pending, but there's no judicial decision pending yet. Nobody appeared in front of a court, there was no witnesses called, so you really have to have a strong case for somebody to make, for us in this committee, to make this matter sub judice. And right now you have not presented it.
Members?
We all know that rules is not an act. We all know that rules is not a constitution. We all know that rules is not any court case that happened. You know, rules has been coming for many years. I would like to ask whether you've studied any court case and outcome recently in terms of the sub judice rule, to really understand the sub judice rule, because to only fall back on the standard rules that's been coming for many years, not taking into consideration the constitutional dispensation we're in, have you studied any of that to come to the conclusion that it's sub judice? That's the one point, Chairperson. The second one is, how does your negotiations eventually if any, influence the sub judice? Because you're not going to tell this committee what's your bottom line in negotiations, and of course the committee will not ask you that. Is it 3 million? Is it 2 million? Is it 500,000? So how can your disclosure to this committee in terms of paragraph 1 in your letter influence the sub judice and have an influence on your negotiations that might happen? And how can any negotiations be sub judice? And how can this committee expect you to say what is your negotiating point? They will never do that. They've never done that. So are you conflating the two? What are you trying to do? Or are you trying to strengthen your sub judice argument by saying you're going to go negotiate later on? Thank you, Chair.
Sure.
Thank you. I also want to refer to Roman numeral 2 of your own letter, where you speak about the sub judice rule, and you say, the information to be disclosed in this sitting of the committee, meaning today, may prejudice the board's defense and that of the provincial government, depending on whether the provincial government will be cited as a party having an interest in the matter. So there's no surety that the department, that the provincial government will be cited as a party, meaning that this is not a matter at court yet in its final stages. You also say the information to be, in fact you start by saying the information to be closed in this sitting of the committee may prejudice the board's defense. How can we influence your defense in playing our oversight role? How does that influence your defense? Because we won't be disclosing information that will hamper your defense, or information that those who have served you with papers could use. That isn't our role. We are in the business of oversight, not making rulings. And as a member Ace or whoever mentioned here, Rule 61 can only be used if it is proven that a matter is sub judice. We've not proved that it's sub judice yet. So Rule 61 cannot apply yet.
Members, I think that we've called the parties in to clarify things, and then we will go into a discussion while we want to deal with it. So I just wanted to ask, and it's fine, but I just wanted to ask to understand that. We do not want to engage with them further. I think we've exhausted the questions. We want to say something in closing before you leave?
No, they must respond to it.
Yeah, member. Okay, do you want to ask the question and then?
Just a final question to help my understanding. On numeric 2, which is on page 2, the information to be disclosed in this sitting, and like you said, we don't want to get involved in the merits of the case, but there's nothing you can change about the historic information that has taken place in the last 3 years that got us to this point. So I'm trying to understand, what are you going to disclose that won't be new, that isn't already in the public domain, that was disclosed in the last 3 years?
This is the question. I don't know if you want to respond. You don't have to, but you're welcome.
If I may, Chairperson, the board previously appeared in front of this committee, and we know that the Parliamentary Monitoring Group records the discussions that we have. The other route operator actually sent to the office of the board a copy of the transcript of the discussion that occurred, and they wanted us to know that they are now privy to this information. Not long after that, the summons was served on the board. Chairperson, in terms of this committee's oversight, it was the board's intention to come and explain to this committee internally what occurred and what does occur when we do invoice the statutory fees and the levies that's due and payable to the board. The operators would not be privy to that information but for the fact that we're going to come and disclose that to this committee. We will also then explain to the committee how this originated and why we got to this point. Of course, in court proceedings, we will be guided by legal advice, probably a senior counsel, to construct the board's case on the papers. When we appear before this committee, we are duty-bound to answer frankly and honestly. However, in litigation, there's going to be a strategy in terms of how you're going to construct your case. So from our perspective, Chairperson, as the Chair indicated, we want to disclose all relevant information to the committee, and we will indeed be probed on the official's conduct in this case. However, if the proceedings are open to the public, Chairperson, the discussions may actually be publicized in the public domain, and it is that concern that the board had, and it was on that basis, and we do know that there is active litigation on this issue. It is on that basis that the board requested the chairperson to give the board guidance in terms of this letter that we crafted on whether or not the session can be held in camera. And again, we would have no opposition to being interrogated by the committee members, whether it's the official's conduct, whether it is anything relating to us being in the situation that we're currently at. And as the chairperson has indicated, we are in discussions with both operators to try and see whether we can't find a commercial solution to this, as opposed to litigating and appointing attorneys and possibly challenging this matter beyond the High Court chair, to try and curtail this issue and see if we can address it. However, as indicated, we have appointed attorneys, we have filed a notice of intention to defend, and we're still bound in terms of the court rules for the process going forward in terms of the litigation.
Members?
No, my question was not answered.
Member, but I don't want to open more questions. No. Member, I didn't ask your question, and member.
No, I did ask for the chair. I just wanted to be.
Any
case law was considered when getting to the sub judice, and also how the negotiations can influence a sub judice rule.
Member Simmons, you want to ask a question?
I just want to give a comment, okay. Because I think listening to the board, the reasoning why they have constructed this letter in the way that they have, doing the request that they have, it makes perfect sense, seeing that they've also added, look at that they are in the process of litigation, and they are in the process of also possibly now engaging the other party to possibly settle this matter. It makes perfect sense why they have constructed it in this manner. Remember, we are honourable members, and we have to do our oversight, but also in a manner that I believe should not interfere with the processes of law as well.
Member McKenzie, this is one last one before we.
The information that the legal advisor gives should have been in this letter. Would have been made so much. Our meeting would have lasted 5 minutes.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, Chairperson. There's the issue about case law, and did you do any research or any information? Do you have information that helped you to make this where you are now?
Yes, Chairperson. I did not specifically do an opinion on what sub judice means in this context. I think it's a classical phrase that we use in litigation. And Chair, I am confident, and I can submit to this committee case law if necessary. I am confident that once an active litigation process commenced and a court decision is awaited, once that first process is served, the matter becomes sub judice, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming in. We would like you just to be excused, and then this committee just need to come to a conclusion. Sorry, Member McKenzie. Sorry.
Chair,
the question.
Yes, question and note. The information that the advocate needed.
The document.
The process, like the advocate explained, the legal advisor explained earlier. There was minutes used of this committee as a process to take litigants against government, because that to me is something very serious, which is everyone's right, obviously. But that helps me to understand why matters should be subjected.
All right. That was fine. We thank you for coming, and thank you for saying that you if you get opportunity to brief us, you will submit a document as well. Fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Lekay, are you willing to leave the document with us, or you only want to submit it when you do the briefing? When you do the briefing. The issue is, I think what we've heard, my opinion of the matter, there wasn't that strong clarity on whether on the sub judice part itself. But what they have said, they are in agreement, they are in busy with engaged back in finding an agreement, common agreement, and that information is what they worry that will, that. But they don't have to share it with us.
Exactly.
That's good. They don't have to share it with us.
Of course not.
We made this point earlier.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
can be held back. But yeah. I think Mem actually hit it on the head when he said, it's historical information. It's already out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Nothing new coming. If we accept that the court papers have been filed, what comes out here is inconsequential to that court paper.
Yes. Members, right? So, do you want to... I think what we've made some proposals, do we want to just have consensus on the way forward from the members?
They must come and do that, but
it will not...
There's another committee starting up past 12.
Yeah, but it will not be in camera. That's the request they make, because we must decide on that, see? They're willing to come, but it will not be in camera. Is that how we feel? Because that's crucial. That's because they talk about that information, then they must decide what they want to withhold. That is sensitive to the court, to the legal proceeding. Okay, fine. All right. Members, we have on the items, we have the quarterly reports, or do we want to deal with that first?
Because members must
understand, we've asked them to come and brief us. I hope they are ready. Remember, they wrote a letter saying they're willing to give certain information with a document. Is that, must we proceed with that? Yeah, now they've got it. What about our time frame? We've got 30 minutes.
Chair.
In terms of this committee's space, time.
Chair, can I ask, to do justice to what we want them to do, is this time sufficient? Given that we still have the provincial treasury to also do, in and half an hour, shouldn't we just give a gambling board another day to come?
It
should be sufficient for them.
Yeah. Yeah. My view was also that I'm sure the fact that they wrote this letter, they probably can tell us a lot of things, but I'm not sure if they must tell us if they're actually prepared to come should we decide no, we want them to brief us, but we will not have it in camera and we want to have a formal briefing. Because that's what they're willing to come here for in any case, to come and brief us.
Yeah.
But the onus is on them to say they want another day, Member Summers. I think it's onus on them.
Chair, the reason I'm asking this is because we want to execute effective oversight, which we've been debating for an hour and a half about. Can we do this in 5 minutes? In my opinion, no. It literally defeats the object of our whole debate for an hour and a half.
Member Ashley, we want to now move forward.
Chairperson, it's an half an hour left, and we don't have to engage the quarterly reports. What is important now, that we can always do. What's important now, let them come, let them brief us. They know what is sensitive towards a court case. Let them brief us. If that's sensitive, they don't tell us. If it's negotiating matters, they don't tell us. Yeah.
We will put it like that. Members, can I just confirm that they made the request? So the committee decided it's an open meeting, it's not in camera.
That's right.
And then they can brief us, and then the documents that they will submit, once they submit, it's a position of the committee. It's public information, it's not to be retained. There's no need actually to retain it. Otherwise, if they say some of that sensitive information is in the document that they're engaging on, then it may be an issue on their behalf, they may brief us. They must then tell us.
Is there something
Now they must then tell us.
Okay.
That's good. It's an open meeting, but I think you've done your part. Your part. Thank you very much.
No,
it's up to him, but I think. No, I don't think the advocate is here to do the work of the committee. I don't think it's right. But you're welcome to stay, advocate. But we're not. We thank you for your services. That's where it ends. It's up to you. It's up to you to stay or the committee. It appears the committee wants you to be on standby. It looks like that. If we need to engage with you, but thank you very much for briefing us. Yeah.
Chair, I'll be in my office there.
No, they can all come in. No problem. No problem.
Wish to come and brief us. They would like to have this briefing camera was a request, and they wanted to have the documents that they submit to us. They wanted back, and only leave a copy with the chairperson. The committee is of the view that, according to our legal briefing and information that we received, that we understand that you at a sensitive stage in the process, and you responded to that. But the committee is of the view that the matter is not of such a nature where we understand processes that it can be defined as subject to K, and therefore. The meeting that we will have here is an open meeting, and if you submit a document, it becomes the property of this committee, and it's a public, this is an open meeting. So we would like to engage with you. We would like to give the opportunity to present to us what you had in mind, but if there's sensitive information, if you present your case, you must just tell us up front how you want to handle this document that you agreed that you will submit to us. So it's over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regards to the presentation, our letter was addressed for guidance as to how this process will be, and we have prepared to come here that it would be a closed meeting. The information that we have prepared was on the understanding that that would be a process. Having said that, Chair, now that we have received the guidance that this will be an open meeting, we request that we do not submit this information. As indicated, there will be information that could prejudice the process going forward. So it is our respectful request that we be allowed another opportunity to re-prepare this document that will be able to be put into the public space and to address the committee from that point of view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lukai. Member Ace, you want to respond?
Chairperson, this board knew for months now. I think that decision was taken on the 22nd of June, right about there, that they must come here. They know this. We'd never said to them up to today that it's going to be a closed meeting. They just write a letter and say it's a closed meeting, and they presume it's fine because they say it's a closed meeting. And then they come here under their conditions, their oversight conditions. It's a closed meeting. We see arrogance again from this board, and we've been seeing this across this 5 years, especially the last year, Chairperson. And we gave them ample time. Every single time there was an extension to come there. What we're asking them is, we said, come and report to this committee. It's simple like that. We're not saying submit that document. Speak to us. Tell us. Leave out the sensitive issues. We don't want to know what you're going to negotiate with these people. We don't want to know that. That's not the issue at hand. We want to know what happened in government. We want to know what happened in the board. We want to know why we sit here today. That's what we want to know, Chair.
Thank you, Member. Just to be fair, I think they have told us, the legal person, their papers were served, which was not served months and months ago. So I think when the papers were served, it changed the course. I think the board then had to review their position. So I think one has to be fair to them that they've given us explanation why they now feel that the matter is sub judice. So I think we should not make statements like you made. Unacceptable. We must be fair, Member. We're not going to continue. The chairperson of the board made a request to us saying that he wants to re-prepare this document and come to present to us another stage. That is what he said. You can't listen. It's like you didn't listen. I'm just saying we must respond to the request. Member Bierwinkel and the other members will speak.
Chair, you're right, we must respond to the request, but our response doesn't have to be what they want. That's the first point. Secondly, if they are taking this document back now, how will our legal advisor have insight into the document to advise us as well? Because all the while now, we'll hear their version, and we won't have any information to back up what we think. So I hear the sensitive issue about what was in the document, but I also concur with what Member A said. We didn't ask for a document to give us all the sensitive information. All we asked was a report. How did you get to the point where you are now? Not the court stuff and whatever. That's what we asked for. I want to make a request now. I want to make a request to you, Chair, that a copy, because again I'm going to raise this point of this, the fact that the copies that were given to us would have been given to us, would have been taken back, but you would have had a copy, taking away the honor of us as members, but allowing you to have a copy. As I previously said, what stops you from making copies? What stops you from spreading the information? That's undermining our honorability here. But I'm asking you now, Chair, that a copy of that document be given to our legal advisor to study as well.
But Bierwinkel, I think you must also be fair. They said that this meeting, they request that the meeting be in camera, and they will submit a document to the chairperson which clarifies their position. They want this information to be kept confidential. That is for me. I'm just saying that's what it is.
I'm not debating that, chairperson, if I may, with respect. I'm not debating that. All I'm saying is we need to have a copy of the document as it is in the hands of our legal advisor so that he can also have whoever is going to have a look at it, have a look at that document. If there's sensitive stuff in there and we're not supposed to see it, then we don't see it.
Member McKenzie, Member.
Thank you. Chairperson, can you perhaps fine-tune it? I'm going to try and make it easy. A copy of the process to enable the process and not that document that you've got, because obviously that is your confidential information until such time as this committee has decided otherwise. Just tell us, our legal advisor, exactly what's happening, what's the process in writing, and also clearly indicate, because your letter wasn't clear. Earlier on, you gave such a nice explanation about where it was, with where the information came, that people should not abuse committees by getting minutes from our meetings and use it for their own nefarious purposes. It's everyone's right to read minutes of committees. I mean, we are a public meeting, but we should just be, because I want it clearly stated, and then if you can provide us with a supporting documentation, be quite keen on seeing that as well.
Fine. Thank you. I agree. As explained earlier on, in terms of the question that was asked about the process, where it is, and so on, and then we would appreciate that. Member Summers, you want to comment?
Chair, I concur with Member McKenzie, and I think listening to the board as well, the request that, you know, they can actually come and see us in a future date, I think one actually needs to succeed to that, because there is litigation in process. we want to execute our effective oversight role, but one also doesn't want to impede on the current litigation. I think the one will balance out the other one. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Summers. We need to move forward, members. Now, Member Ace, in closing.
Chairperson, this issue has been in the public domain now for very long. It's been loosely explained here to us. All we ask now, talk to us. Tell us what transpired. Don't go into your court case or a court case out there. Tell us what happened. Tell us how you're going to prevent it happening again. You already said you need legislation to rectify it. So you didn't comply with legislation. Tell us what happened that you didn't comply. That's what I'm saying. They're making a big thing out of an issue that we could have resolved months and months ago already. Now it's escalating. And we all the time now think, but what are they hiding? What are they hiding? Let them just speak to us.
Thank you, members. There was a proposal from the board, the chair, that they would like to have another date. They want to rework their document and present it to us. We've listened to that. We've had deliberations, and there's no consensus. There's a proposal on the table from Member Summers, I think, made the proposal that he spoke last. Do you want to put up a proposal, Member, a counter-proposal or some other proposal, Member Ace?
Yes, that we proceed, right. Chairperson. We've
right.
made such a lot of concessions. We even said they can leave out their sensitive issues that they believe is sensitive. They still don't want to do it. This is not accountability, not to this Parliament, not to this committee. And they discredited themselves today here, Chairperson.
Members,
this is what they do.
Right, let us vote on the issue. There's no consensus. Let us vote. The proposal is for Member Ace that they must proceed to do their submission of the documents, and then the other proposal is that we give the board the opportunity to rework the document and come present at a later stage. Right? That is what we are facing with, and I support the proposal of Member Summers. Right? And Mackenzie, you support that, right? Member, so that is the proposal of this decision of this committee. Chairperson, we will give you the opportunity. We do the request to submit the document to us in terms of the court processes, the litigation processes, and then we will give you the opportunity to present a document to us that you feel that is not, that doesn't contain sensitive information that could prejudice your case, and we will give you another date to come and present to us. Right. That is on discussion. Thank you. We didn't decide on that. It's just a request you made.
That was my request.
Yeah, yeah.
That the document
okay.
as it is
be
given to our legal advisor.
No. We decided that they will rework the document and submit a new document, because it's their right to give us what they want to give us.
Chairperson, what I've seen now is this extreme influence of politics here from the DA. Not wanting oversight to happen. Protecting what's happening here, and there's something wrong happening here, and you're protecting that. You're disguising it.
It's not true, Member Ace. We will
don't
give
them,
want
to open
we
up.
Will interrogate.
5 minutes ago, before they walked in here, you said the document must go to the legal advisor. Now, all of a sudden, the document must disappear.
What?
That's what you're
no.
covering up, Chairperson.
No. They will present to us, will go to the legal advisor in any case, and we will ask anything further after the submission to us. We will get all that information that we need. There's nothing wrong. It's just the process and the steps we must follow. That's all. Thank you.
Why can't our legal advisor see the document as it is now? The legal advisor.
Members, we can't reopen this case. We've made a decision. This committee made a decision. We deliberated and that's it.
You can't
let's
allow this board to drive us to this point here where we differ like
no,
this.
Let's
never
case.
Happened before.
Let's close this case, members.
Sure, I believe on. We've made a decision. You've given guidance. The matter is closed. Thank you.
Thank you, legal.
I don't know how much time we have for assist us now for the other rest of the agenda. All right, fine.
They want to speak
okay, no, they don't have to speak to us. We've made a decision. The committee made a decision. So you are excused on that point. And in terms of the rest of the agenda, we will inform you another day when we will continue with the agenda. Thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you. We still have members, we must still do the rest of the minutes,
no,
approval of minutes.
Do
we
file
any members, you want to do that now? Or you want to let us stand over? Yes, can we stand over? Okay, fine, all right. Members, let's then do the minutes, point four, the draft committee minutes of the meeting. 23rd of October. Page 1? Page 2? Any corrections or omissions? Any proposals?
Propose you accept, Chair.
Members, point 5, there's the draft committee quarterly report. I just want to check with my coordinator if there's dates, all the dates correct. Committee report, April to June. Basically passed that already. I think the only thing was my comments. So the committee report, and my comment was on the progress we made on the gambling board's accommodation. I think that. Are we accepting the quarterly report, members?
Yeah.
All right, proposal, Member McKenzie. Thank you very much. What else, coordinator? Is that it? All right. Members, thank you. That's it for today. Any resolutions that we want to take? Any proposals?
Yeah,
just to confirm? Yeah? Okay.
The gambling board submit the litigation process so that our legal advisor can determine whether it can assist this committee, whether it's sub judice or not. And then the committee will set a new date as soon as reasonably possible to invite the board to a meeting. Similar to what's done in Skopje, if I may add.
Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much for the staff. And Member Joseph, it's good to see you. I believe you were not well. I tried to contact you, but maybe it was the wrong time. So how is your health doing, Member Joseph?